T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline once again. It's Friday, 9 o'clock hour. It's a football Friday. We're going to go right to ProFootballTalk.com and talk to Mike Florio. Mike, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
Well, we're doing good. We got ourselves a little Josh and Ryan. Ryan and Josh trying to figure out after last night. Both guys were running for their life with the offensive line, but were able to make some plays. And Josh Rosen actually really made some good plays. Mike, what do you do down here? What do you think ends up happening? And who plays in that opening game? Did Josh Rosen do enough last night?
Yeah, look, I don't know. And they keep going back and forth on this. And I think back and forth is going to be what happens when the regular season begins. One guy starts, guy gets yanked. Almost like what happened last year in Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. Now, Winston was suspended to start the season, but Fitzpatrick eventually gets benched, and then Winston gets benched, and then Fitzpatrick gets benched, and you know, unless somebody really catches fire. And I think that if Josh Rosen was really the guy long term, even though he hasn't been there for long, he's been there long enough that it would already declare itself. And I just think this whole thing is now on path to a new quarterback being drafted or otherwise acquired for the Dolphins in 2020. I just think this is get through the season, hope for the best. And I don't think either guy is going to be the starter next year.
Yeah, probably picking a quarterback in the early part of next year's draft, and that's going to be the guy probably not on this roster now. What would you think about Brian Flores last night kind of addressing the whole Kenny Stills, Jay-Z stuff? Played the music the other day. It's just been a whole kind of story. He didn't think it would be a national story, and that kind of just blew up in his face a little bit.
Well, why would that be a national story when the day after – one of your more vocal players says some things critical of Jay-Z for his deal with the NFL, a deal that glossed over Colin Kaepernick's ongoing unemployment, and then you go 8 straight Jay-Z songs in practice the next day without telling anyone ahead of time why you're doing what you're doing. You told Kenny Stills ahead of time why you did it, but the media is just looking at this as a slap in the face at Kenny Stills. Now, I know that either the Dolphins leaked or someone had speculated that this was an effort by Brian Flores to challenge Kenny Stills to see how he would deal with that kind of adversity. It just, the whole thing seems odd to me. And I feel like in a clumsy sort of way, Brian Flores is another Bill Belichick disciple who is doing things based upon not an overt desire to do what Belichick does, but after years of being with Belichick, the way he handles situations creeps in. And I think this is kind of a loose approximation of what Belichick would do if he found himself in a spot like this.
You know, Mike, it's really interesting to see everybody, especially with what happened up in Canada, how everybody handles this third preseason game. It used to be, unless I'm mistaken, you can help me out. All right, everybody plays a half at least, maybe into the third quarter. And now people are more worried and thinking more about injury and making sure, even if you're a little rusty, at least you're healthy for that opener in September. Do you think it's going more that way in the future, especially after Cam Newton gets rolled up on last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's the damnedest thing. These coaches complain about not having enough time to get their guys ready for week one, and they cancel OTAs with a couple sessions left, and they don't play starters in the preseason. These are prime opportunities to get guys ready, but the problem is you're taking a risk that they're going to get injured in a game that doesn't count. And with Cam Newton getting hurt last night, especially if it's a serious injury, and at this point we don't know, but if it's something significant, then I think that is a warning to all coaches not to do this and to keep your guys in bubble wrap. And at some point we just have to say, hey, NFL, we're fully aware that you don't want to trim the preseason in half until you can grow the regular season and offset the lost revenue, but it doesn't matter. You just got to get rid of these 4 preseason games and shrink it down to 2. You know, I after 2 weeks of the preseason, I don't care anymore, and I feel like a lot of people don't care. And between the embarrassment in Winnipeg last night and Cam Newton getting injured, maybe we're at a critical mass. Maybe this is the thing. Now that they're bargaining right now with the NFL Players Association for a new CBA, maybe this is the thing that gets the owners to say, you know what, we've got to get the regular season expanded so we can cut the preseason in half because this is really making us look bad.
Right, we've seen now two instances. Was it last season with Mexico City with the stadium there? Now last night with Winnipeg on an 80-yard field. This is embarrassing. How come no one in Goodell's office saw this coming from a mile away? No one checked out the field. No one thought anything was bad with that field. I just don't understand it.
Well, and think about it. This is the third time now since 2016. We had the Hall of Fame game cancellation because they couldn't get the paint to dry, so they used some sort of industrial dryer that melted the paint that turned the field into concrete. And then they have the field in Mexico City that's unsuitable, and somebody was asleep at the switch there. And the idea that, hey, moving the goalposts literally from the goal line to the back of the end zone because the goalposts for the CFL configuration are up at the goal line, 25-yard end zone, that's going to leave something behind that needs to be dealt with, and that was the problem here. So 80-yard field, embarrassing. I couldn't even watch that game because I knew the numbers were not the real numbers. Right. I didn't want to have to do the math. Jeez. I didn't want to have to think it through. And it didn't feel like a real game. And it really is a major embarrassment to the league. The league doesn't hold people accountable for these big mistakes, and I guess you could say, hey, for as cold and as heartless as NFL teams are, the league office is very forgiving about things like this. But this is the kind of thing where someone's head needs to roll. And typically, the way the NFL does it is they don't fire anybody. What they do is, whoever was responsible for a big screw up quietly leaves a few months later, like after the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. But that's not happened for any of these field related debacles. And somebody needs to be responsible for what happened last night, because if I'm the commissioner, I am pissed off that this was allowed to happen on my watch.
Hey, Mike, I find myself rooting really hard for Daniel Jones, who had another good game yesterday, by the way, for the Giants. The Baker Mayfield stuff and kind of following it up with, they didn't get the story right. That's not what I said. What was your take on the whole thing? A big deal or not really?
I don't think it was really a big deal. And the thing that bothers me is GQ does this every year. Last year it was Jalen Ramsey. This year it's Baker Mayfield. I'm sure it's been guys in the past, and I just can't remember. But the last two are the ones that stand out, where they dangle a photo shoot with GQ, the possibility of a cover. And, the guy says, fine, hey, I got to sit down for an interview before we do the photo shoot. I'll do it. And because it's not a sports reporter, there isn't that same guard up that you would have if you're sitting down with Peter King. You know what I'm saying? And also, I think that the Clay Skipper, who did the profile of Jalen Ramsey and the profile of Baker Mayfield, I think there's a willingness to play that gotcha game where, hey, you said it. You didn't say it off the record. Sorry, I'm going to use whatever you say. Some reporters who have to worry about longer-term relationships and want to interview Baker Mayfield again and want to have a good relationship with the Browns so they can get access, you can't play that game and burn a guy, even if it's his own fault for not saying off the record. And I think that's exactly what happened here. That Baker Mayfield got burned because he just assumed that what he said wasn't going to be used, or if it was used, it was going to be properly conveyed, not selectively quoted. And look, beware GQ. So they're going to get somebody next year, too. There's going to be some star player this year, or Saquon Barkley, or somebody, some young guy who's on the right side of 25, or as the case may be, the wrong side of 25, because those guys can be inexperienced and naive, and they're going to step right into it. They're going to do some interview in May when things are slow, and then all of a sudden it drops in August, and all these controversial things that you didn't realize were going to be thrown back at you get thrown back at you, because that's going to sell the article and sell the magazine.
Yeah, but Mike, this is great. Like, this whole thing with Mayfield and the Browns, I think it's great for football. I really do. Young, cocky group. We're not afraid of anybody. We'll say whatever we want. That kind of image. You don't think a little of that's good for the NFL?
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, it's unfortunate, because I think in this case Mayfield wasn't trying to do it. But for some of these young guys, it's almost like, when I was a kid and I was really into wrestling, I didn't want to think that it wasn't real, even though I it's like, I know it's not real, But I like it. And I feel like whether it's a college football WWE mentality that creeps into this for pro football, that's what makes it good for football, because it does develop that sense of rivalry. And, you know, you don't like the players on the other team. You don't like the other teams. You don't, you know, there's a deeper seated dislike and distrust of your opponent, of your opposing teams. And, you know, I wish the Browns and the Giants played this year. So, yeah, they play in 2020, but that can't get here soon enough, because that mentality, it makes the NFL feel a little less corporate and a little less, homogenized and sanitized. And I think we like that sense of rancor and drama that we see in college football and that we see in pro wrestling.
I guess I have to break the ice because we haven't brought him up yet, I don't think. Antonio Brown, what's up with the helmet?
Well, today's the day of the hearing, where Helmet Grievance 2.0 comes to a head. I think his argument this time around is a hell of a lot stronger than the argument from the last time, and I think that in large part because the argument the last time around was so poor, the idea that, hey, my helmet's more than 10 years old, it can't be recertified, but go ahead and recertify it anyway. The helmet argument this time is very simple. If the NFL is going to, on the fly, ban the shut air advantage, any version of it, even the ones that are less than 10 years old, and not let Antonio Brown wear it, and it's something the NFL didn't do in the normal course of deciding which helmets should and shouldn't be used by players, he should get that same one-year grace period in his preferred helmet model that Tom Brady and others got last year. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to win, but it's a much better argument than the one that was made 2 weeks ago in that first grievance.
So you're kind of saying the NFL once again didn't make all their rules and regulations real clear and kind of go along and kind of change it as they want, and that's going to be a loophole for them.
They screwed up.
Yeah,
they screwed up.
That's it.
They didn't test the shut air advantage. They should have, and they didn't. And they're trying to gloss over that. And also, I think they don't want Antonio Brown to win. Right? They want to be right. They want to be vindicated. They want to run things the way they want. And when a player stands up and says, "I don't want to do it your way," the NFL is going to fight tooth and nail to be able to do things the way the NFL wants to do them.
But he's good for football, man. I mean, that guy.
Oh, he's great for football. It's exciting.
I mean, we need him playing, even though we've seen a little bit of a diva, a lot of a diva side of him. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the NFL just. For as big as it is and all the people they hire for different parts of this huge, huge company, it's embarrassing sometimes. It goes right back to Roger Goodell, who I just blast nonstop, Mike, is just, does he not understand all these things we talk about half of them every week? He looks like an idiot.
Well, and here's the thing, and somebody who's very influential and understands how everything is fit together told me a few years ago that Roger Goodell is a perfectly fine commissioner. The problem is the people around him. And it may be, and I don't want to psychoanalyze too much, but sometimes when you don't have great, great, great people around you, then you don't have threats around you to your job. And it could be that, you know, there's a little protect the throne, a little ego-driven here, uh-huh. And you don't have a bunch of ass-kickers who would get everything buttoned up and get it done because, hey, if those folks are too good, somebody's eventually going to say, well, why is not that guy the commissioner?
Interesting stuff there. Mike, as always,
thanks
you.
Mike.
Happy Football Friday.
Appreciate
we'll speak
it, man.
To you next week.
See you guys.
All right, that was Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
I knew he was I knew before, man, when everybody was getting on AB, he's like, hey, they friggin' change their rules all the time. He's going to fight it. And
he'll find a loophole. He's right.
He's got a chance to win. I don't know if he's got a chance to win or not with the NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.